Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello, my fabulous audience. Okay, so we're going to attempt to have a conversation about, oh no, you missed it. However, I do have the puppy back in the office with me as part of his training. So if you hear like squeaky toys or barking or me having to pause, I'm trying to train him to be so I don't have to lock him up in his crate every time I have to record stuff. So, all right. So with lots of love, forgive, and I ask for forgiveness in advance. Okay, let's talk. So this was a beautiful topic that somebody had suggested that I cover, where I've seen it often, you know, myself, lovers, couples, clients, you see it everywhere, right? We've all been programmed to believe that we're supposed to be striving for the next thing, the next, you know, grass is greener on the other side concept. It's like we're always seeking out, and there's nothing wrong with seeking out, and there's nothing wrong with being curious, and there's nothing wrong with creating goals so that you can meet them. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But what happens is that we spend so much time moving in, looking forward, that we don't actually take the time to celebrate and which means the moment, which means we truly miss the moment. So here's an example of this. One of the things that I do with all of my, you know, clients and lovers is after I have, you know, after we've had, you know, some time together, I do a debrief. And if you're like, what's a debrief? I've done a whole series of episodes on the importance of communication and the importance of after communication debriefing. So go into the library and go find them, because they're really important. So anyway, so debriefing. So I want to be able to find out, okay, what did you really like? Were there anything that you didn't like? This data and being able to communicate with each other. This data then creates a need to create more information so that the next time we explore, I can take that information and add it into the experience. But what, so when I often will, and this is what will happen, I'll be like, so what was your favorite part? It's one of my favorite questions. And anybody who knows me who hates answering that question, they're like, oh, this again. And all I have to say is I love you, and this is how I make your life even more fabulous. So I know you hate answering the question, but it's an important question. So what ends up happening is a client or lover or people in general, but I'll say, so what was your favorite part about today? And they'll start in with like one thing, But they can't just celebrate that one thing and go into the details of it. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I tried something new, for example, you know, maybe a new activity. And they like, ooh, I really liked that. And I'm like, oh, great. And then I'll ask the next question, like, so what were the pieces of it that you really enjoyed? And how did it make you feel? And, you know, I start diving deeper into it so I can get more data. So I can, you know, basically ramp up the ante next time we're together. And what I often hear is they can't articulate how fabulous it was. They know that they liked it, but they're like, ooh, and I would really like this, this, and this, which we didn't do, which isn't on the table, which again, we can have that conversation anytime. But because they're already on to, okay, so next time I'd really like you to do it this way, this way, this way, and this way. It prevents them from really enjoying and us celebrating how fucking hot that was. And the importance of, especially when we're doing some pretty wild kink play, it's important that we honor what we like, we vocalize what we like, because that sends a message to our brain that says, this is good. This is safe. There's nothing wrong with me. It helps to reprogram any sexual shame, which again, I've done a lot of episodes on. So go find those if you're like, you know, struggling with shame around your desires and your experiences. So when we articulate what we desire, we own it. And when we own it, then it sets a message into our brain that says, ooh, this is good. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm safe and I like it. And one of the mechanisms that the human brain, many have, is that to avoid that. Because if you say, I like it and it was really good, then you are admitting it, which means that you don't have any shame anymore. And a lot of our sexuality is tied up in this shame loop, which I talk about. Please go listen to those episodes, okay? So taking the time, plus, okay, so that's the debrief. Now, let's talk about when it's happening. And this often, I've seen it many times, people aren't in the moment. They're not in their body. They're thinking about other things. They're not really present. And yes, this is part of mindfulness practice of being in the here and now. And the benefits of being in the here and now when you're having sexy time is huge. The more you drop into the moment, and the less you're contemplating, thinking, or plotting, or thinking about something else, the more sensations you get to experience, the more pleasure sensations you get to experience, the more the heart, you know, further you drop into subspace. If we're doing any dungeon play or kink play, which then allows you to like go to that zen void place, you miss it. If you're like, okay, so I'm tied up. You know what I really like is I'm tied up. I really like more of this, or I wish that, you know, they would tie me this way, or, you know, that's really hot, but I'd like it like this. Those thoughts are great to have a conversation afterwards about. Some of it, depending on the dynamics, you can ask for in the moment if you're wanting that next moment. That the more intense, you need a more intense experience. And even in the dungeon, we have safe words for that reason. You can call yellow and say, hey, you know, that's amazing, but I love that. It's great. And my body would really crave you hitting me harder or pinching me harder or biting me harder or, you know, flogging me and my thighs or whatever. So you can communicate those desires. But the thing is that you are also missing what's really happening in that moment. Even if, for example, so here's an example. I'll give you an example from my world, my own personal experience. When I end up doing this, see, I'm just like everybody else. All right. So One of the things when I'm in my submissive space with master, or AKA overlord, you'll start slowly in the flogging and the spanking, which is how my body responds really well to it. You go too hard, too fast, then what ends up happening is my body shuts down. So he starts to build it and he's building it. And then he kind of keeps it at this, like, just at this edge. And when it gets to that edge, it's like, I want him to hit me harder. I want it harder. I need it harder. My body craves it, needs it, wants it, desires it. And I have the opportunity to ask for more, which, you know, he will deny me usually, because the truth is that in that craving, in that lust, in that drive for craving, wanting, desiring more, there's a whole bunch of emotional, physical, and sexual, sensual experiences that are happening. Because now my body's like aching for it, and my body's writhing for it, and I'm moaning for it, and I might even have to beg for it, which I hate begging, by the way. That's one of my humiliation components. making me beg for something. But in that begging and desperation of desire, there's nothing else. If I just said, hey, harder, and he hit me harder, which sometimes happens, then there's a missing of that craving, longing, lusting, wanting, desiring. And then when I finally get it, the satisfaction of receiving this, when my body really, truly desires and wants, and because I've had to beg for it, I've had to own it, and now I'm okay with being a pain slut. And I've embraced that I am a masochist, a pain masochist in this moment. And there's nothing fucking hotter and sexier in this moment than acknowledging that I'm a pain slut. So there's something to be said about even the moments where you have to wait, or there you want, desire something else, that if you stop thinking about the other thing that you desire, you can truly be in what is happening in the moment. Another example of that for our vanilla audience members who aren't getting all freaky with in the dungeon, all right, is like, for example, all right, again, we've talked about communication and asking for what you want, and asking for what you desire. Wonderful. However, we also need to be, again, we need to balance that with being in the moment. So my orgasmic pattern, and we all have them, and I've talked a lot about it, so, you know, please go listen to one of those episodes. But my orgasmic patterning is like, okay, well, if you touch me here and I squeeze my legs this way and I arch my back that way, I'll go over and have an orgasm. But so if I try to maneuver so that I can have that, if I'm orgasm focused and I'm orgasm and what's going to happen next and how I want it and how I'm going to get it and all these things, if I'm in that headspace, I could miss some new pleasure possibilities that may not be currently part of my orgasmic repertoire. But if I allow myself to be in the moment and experience what's happening, as long as all the sensations that are going on, and again, allowing it to build and to experience what that feels like. And again, the craving, the lust, the longing, the aching, the, you know, the wiggling, the all that goes along with these new potential sensations, two things happen. One, we're fully present in the moment. Two, you may add some new orgasmic possibilities and new sensations and new ways to come, because you didn't go back to your whole orgasmic pattern. You're mixing it up a little bit. And nothing says that when you're coming near to the end of your sexy time with each other, that you can't, if you didn't reach that state of, you know, satisfaction, your normal, your quote unquote, your orgasmic pattern sense, erotic patterning, then it's okay to be like, all right, now I didn't have that really big one. That was awesome. I didn't have that really big one, you know, time to, you know, do the things that we know that really create that big one while you're learning and exploring your bodies and experiences. If you're getting a blowjob, here's an example. If you're getting a blowjob and it's feeling really good, but you start fantasizing and thinking about something other than the person who is sucking your cock at that moment, you're not in the moment. If you're thinking about the last time you got a blowjob or somebody else gave you a blowjob, again, you're not in the moment. You're not really there, and you're missing the sensations that are possibly happening in that moment. Okay, so this is the whole, the grass is always greener on the other side, balancing that out with getting your needs met by asking how to get your needs met, as well as allowing your body to experience the sensations that are happening from your lover or lovers, and balancing those two things out so that you get your needs met and you get to experience, be present in the moment. So that's what I want to leave you with. Before you jump on, this is what I need, allow yourself, unless there's pain and it's not uncomfortable. I'm not saying that we shouldn't say, hey, that's a little intense, right? But can you be in the moment? Now, there's also something to be said about, you know, fantasizing, reading some porn, watching some porn while you're getting a blowjob. Like, that's part of the kink. That's part of the experience. It's about part of the experience. But if that's not kind of where you're at or what you guys are doing, drop in. If you're like, ooh, I really, oh my God, she feels so, their mouth feels so good. I wonder what their, you know, what other holes feel really good. Other than having a brief moment of thinking about that, come back, drop back into your body to see, to open your eyes is a good way to be in the moment. Open your eyes, drop into the sensation of your body, turn off your brain. Because turning off your brain actually is where all the good stuff live. you know, over the years, being highly orgasmic as I am, and all the people who I've helped to achieve orgasms and becoming orgasmic themselves, that's the number one thing of the problem, is that we're not in the moment. We're trying to control it. We're trying to make things happen. We're trying to control the thing. Epic pleasure doesn't come from making or controlling. It comes from allowing and receiving. Even as a dom, when I'm in the dom role, in the dungeon, you know, my job and my role is to be present in the moment. So that means I need to be paying attention to what's happening now and not be thinking about what I'm going to do next. I have a loose master plan. At some point, I'll get inspired to do something else when I'm, you know, it's the me and the, you know, my subby are, you know, ready to move on to a new exploration. But if I'm thinking about that new exploration, I'm not truly being present in the moment. And being present in that moment with my subby is what allows them to surrender and let go of control, because they know I got them. They know I'm paying attention to their breathing. I know they're paying attention to their bodies, and they know I'm paying attention to what their circulation's doing. They know that I'm watching and paying attention and being there. And in order, I need to be there. I can't be thinking about where I want to go next. I need to be where I am at. And so that applies for us DOMs as well. You got to be in the moment, you know, you got to be there. If you're not there, your subby can't feel safe. Your subby can't surrender. They can't let go, Right. You're in charge of the, you know, the safety protocols basically, and you're in charge of what's going to be in their serve them and be in their best interest, and their job is to just let go and not have to think about anything. But they can't do that if you're not there with them. And people feel it. They may not know it. They may not be able to articulate it. They may not even know what it is, but people know on an intuitive level, whether you're really in the moment with them, or are you somewhere else with somebody else, thinking about something else? Are you distracted? And so, to get really good at this, I'm going to lovingly invite you to open up a new mindful practice. Because again, oh no, you missed it. You're missing a lot of stuff. Never mind all the sexy stuff, but you're missing a lot of other things in life, in the world, things like that. So there's different ways of getting to that state of mindfulness, right? There's, you know, my favorite, obviously, is in BDSM in the dungeon, followed by sex and orgasms. These are my two favorite things to practice my mindfulness. It's like a instant gratification. I kind of am an instant gratification kind of gal, so those are two of my favorite ways. However, I also do a lot of meditation, and you know, being in the moment, you know, taking, you know, going for a walk, and being in that state of, okay, I'm going to be in this moment right now, wherever I'm at. I'm with the trees, I'm with the wind, I'm with the sun, I'm with the people that are walking by, I'm with the smells, like really dropping into, you know, sensory mindfulness helps big time. So these are some of the practices, but there's yoga practices, there's Tai Chi, there's tons of breathing exercises, there's tons and tons and tons of different ways to achieve and start to add to your mindfulness practice, which is basically bottom line is being in the moment and not being in the past or the future. And that sounds really, it sounds like it's super easy, but fuck, it's not. We live in a society that does not support being present in the moment. We're either always lost and stuck in trauma from the past, or we're, you know, looking to the future to avoid being in the present. And we spend actually a lot of time in avoidance of presence, mostly because if we're in the here and now, there might be some things that we may not want to see or look at, or may feel uncomfortable, or there might be some thoughts that have been lingering around that we've been doing a lot of spending a lot of time avoiding. So one of the biggest pieces of being afraid to be in the here and now is that you're afraid of what's really going on with yourself if you are in the here and now. And it can be scary. And there are things that you're probably avoiding for a good reason because they don't feel good and they're uncomfortable. And you may not have the tools or the skills to manage them or to heal them or to move through them or get on the other side of it, which is where I recommend reaching out to me. And then I can pass you along either to me or to my team of awesome people that are very good at this whole helping you heal shit. So here's two challenges. One, be more present in the moment and find something. Exercise can be also a great mindful because you got to be in your body in the moment. There's no space or time or energy to be elsewhere thinking about the past or the present. Sorry, the past or the future. Yoga, Tai Chi, meditation. There's a thousand different kinds of meditation. My preference is theta meditation and guided theta meditation, especially when you're not skilled yet in the world of transcendence and stillness and quiet. Having somebody take you through a guided meditation helps you to be focused on the words that are being said and being in the, it starts that practice following along in the moment. So that I would highly recommend that. One of the people that I really have been amazing is Kelly Howell, which you can find on Spotify, as well as her company is called Brain Sync, and they have an app. So there's some places where I really trust. Now, when you're looking into mindfulness, and here's the one thing I really important, and you're doing meditation, it's really important that whatever source you're going to listen to, that you trust that source, that they tell you what subliminal messages are, those the subliminal messages that you want. What's their expertise? Where's the background? Has somebody recommended them to you that you trust? Because again, when you're dropping into meditative state, and the ultimate meditative state is theta. You're most susceptible to suggestions and rewiring of the brain. So you want to make sure that the suggestions and the rewiring of the brain are what you want. And that just helps you to be in the moment. And then the last tool I want to give you is sensory awareness is a great tool for mindfulness. All right. And it's super easy. You put into your phone. There's a great app called Randomly Remind Me, where you set alarms for, you can either set alarms, or you can have, you need, it's randomly reminds you that you have to do a sensory. So every day you pick one of your five senses. Sound, sight, smell, taste, and touch. And what you do is when your little alarm goes off, whatever sense you're picking, you take basically 5 to 10 seconds to drop into that sense. So if it was sight that you're working on, you basically stop what you're doing and you look around the room and you find a couple things you didn't notice. If it's smell, do some sniffing in the air, see if you pick up new sense smells that you haven't smelled. Taste, if it happens to be going off, taste is great when you have food because you can really drop into the flavors of the taste and the texture and the temperature. If you happen to be doing taste that day and you don't happen to have any food, you can kind of taste the air like a snake where you just kind of open your mouth and you slightly and you stick out your tongue in a little bit and you just breathe in over your tongue. Your tongue can pick up things in the air, like perfumes and all sorts of things. And then touch, oh, hearing's also good. Then you take 5 to 10 seconds, 30 seconds, however long you want to do this, to listen. Close your eyes, because when you close your eyes, it helps to heighten your other senses. So you close your eyes and you listen. And I go, listen to what you first hear, then what can you hear further in the distance? And then can you go even further in the distance? And then touch is from both spectrums. So you want to have the experience of the sensations on your hands. So, there's the hand part of it. Textures, clothing, things around you, touch. Remember, don't touch people unless you've asked permission. That goes with smelling or licking them either. But the nice thing about touch, when you touch yourself, there's two perspectives that are going on. There's the sensation and the nerve endings of your fingertips and your hand, but then where you're touching, and how does that feel? And you can do light, scratchy, all sorts of fun things. All right. So this is the key to doing this on a daily basis, is a great way of teaching you how to be mindful. So now you drop into sex time, right? You've been mindful, you've been practicing, you're like, yeah, I got this. I can totally be in the moment. Now you're in sex time. And if you start to do old patterns, which is pretty normal with human beings, it takes a long time for us to change. It can take us a long time to change old patterns because they served us at one point. So what we do is now, especially with the sensory awareness piece, it's a great way to drop in. If you start thinking about other things, you're fantasizing about what's going to happen next, you're can't wait till something else is going to go on. All you need to do is drop into your body. Drop into your sounds. What do you hear? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you taste? What do you touch? That helps bring you out of your brain into your body, and it helps you to be in the moment. And guess what? There's a lot of good shit in the moment. Well, we're not talking about shit. That's a whole other conversation. That's called scat. But there's a whole lot of wonderful things. I'll change my language there. There's a whole lot of wonderful things that are possible that you may have been missing. So now you don't have to be, oh no, I missed it. All right. So till next time, stay curious, stay present, and stay horny. And as a reminder, if you want to watch the video of me, which by the way, I'm just in the office, so nothing really exciting going on. But if you want to watch the video of me, other than my facial expressions and what I'm wearing, you want to go over to FetLife. That's where all the video content is now being held. YouTube, too much censorship. I was tired of censorship bullshit. I want freedom, sexual freedom and liberation. Talking about sexual freedom and liberation, I want to be able to have it where my place, my platform. So that's a great place to go find all of my videos, as well as, teaser videos. And there's my BDSM membership. Don't forget, you want to come become a member. Get to see what actually happens in the dungeon while it's happening. And I now am part of Loyal. It's called Loyal Fans, which is like OnlyFans, but it's a different platform. Loyal Fans. And you can have questions. You can do shout outs. You can see me doing, see a lot more of me, all of me. So you can find me at, under Loyal Fans at, I think it's Empress Gaia One is my handle there. And have fun and enjoy. And again, if being in the moment really is terrifying for you because you don't know how to handle being in the moment with yourself, there's things that you don't have the tools, they're too awful, you're afraid that you're going to have to, you'll think about and it'll eat you up or you might die or all these things, please reach out. You can find me at guymorissette.com. Reach out to me and I will either I can help you or I can pass you along to my trusted team of people that are really, really good at that work of healing. Okay. All right. Till next time. Bye. Thank you, audience. You're amazing. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.